Good morning to one and all of you that came out this beautiful day. Sun's shining, and yes, it's a beautiful day. Welcome to our visitors also. And what I would like to share with you all this morning is about the Christian hope. When I heard the news about Brother Willard, of course, my, you know, having known him for years and years, I know the hope that was in him was not a dead hope. It was a live hope. It was alive, you know, and there was a reason that it was alive. That reason was Jesus. Jesus, by the resurrection of the dead, has made it possible for all of us, for all humanity, to experience a hope that is alive. You know, what is a lively hope, anyhow? You know, hope has to do with the expectation of something good. That's what hope in the Bible means. And you have the spiritual aspect of hope. Then you also have the, or you could say the carnal or the natural aspect of hope. You know, maybe when a farmer, he cuts down a field of hay, and Brother Willard was a haymaker in his time, you know, and when he would cut down 20 acres of hay, you would hope for nice sunshine. Right, Brother Tim? You remember those days, right? You would hope for nice sunshine. And maybe you would listen to the weather report and go by that a little bit and hope. That is good. Or maybe if a farmer plants corn, he will plant it, then he hopes it will rain. That's in the natural. But in the spiritual, you know, that all has to do with good. Hope always has to do with good. So that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. If you turn your Bibles to Romans 15, verse 13. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It says here, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. This little passage here that Paul wrote here to the Christians in Rome is packed. You know, now the God of hope. Where does hope come from, you know? There's a lot. There's also another side of hope that is just a false hope. It's kind of like years ago, I think it was in the 1800s when the gold rush was on, they would go out west to California to dig for gold. And you would find gold, and people's hearts would, oh, you know. They went out there in hopes of finding gold. Again, hope has to do with good, expectation of good. And there was many that got rich in finding some gold. Then there was also others that were excited when they saw something yellow. And they would take that in, and maybe they would, I don't know how much they would gather. They would gather a bunch of this. Maybe there was some gold mixed in it, but when they would take it in, the goldsmith, he would look at it and say, well, most of this is pyrite gold. You know what that is? They call it fool's gold. It had no value. It was just kind of a yellow stone-like, it wasn't the real thing. So it was just what they called fool's gold. That was a disappointment for them, all their labors. So their hope had to be that they would find the real thing. So that's the way hope is in the Bible. You know, the Bible speaks of a real hope that is true, that you won't be disappointed with. Wouldn't it be sad when we come to the end of the age, the end of your life, you know, and you find out what we had was pyrite gold? So your hope needs to be founded. It says, now the God of hope, which is the God of the Bible, fill you with joy and peace in believing. He is the source of hope. The Apostle Paul calls him the God of hope. He's the one that brings us hope. Even in the beginning, you go all the way back to the beginning of time, Adam and Eve, when they, you know, they were in the garden and everything was beautiful and fine. They had this relationship with God. Then something happened because the devil came around in the form of a serpent. Eve was deceived. You know the story. But what did God do? The God of hope showed up on the scene as well. He gave about promise of sometime in the future, this could be reversed because of what he's going to supply. Many prophecies were given throughout the Bible in relation to Jesus, the Messiah that will come, yes, and change what happened in the garden. And he promised that he gave that promise to Adam and Eve already, the God of hope in the beginning. When God talked to Abraham about moving to a distant country, and it promised him a son and descendants as the sand of the sea. You know, Abraham started out with that hope in his heart. He didn't go out on his own. Well, this is a good idea. I'd like to leave. I think his heart, maybe in the flesh, he would have liked to stay in his home country. But because of God's promise to him, he would, you know, he went in hope. He moved forward in hope. This is what you see of all those men and women in the Bible that had any contact with God. God offered them hope. When David faced the giant Goliath, and the giant cursed him and told him he would give his carcass to the birds and the wild beasts, David, the young man, moved forward towards the giant. A hope with his faith in God and a hope that it would not be as the giant said. And when you know the story. Then when David lost his son with Bathsheba, you know, that was hard on him. He said, I cannot bring him back, but I will go where he is. Again, there you see hope, right? The same way with our friends, you know, that, and our family members and dad, you know, Brother Willard that passed away. I can't bring him back, but we can go where he is. That's the beauty of having contact with God, the God of hope. Now, he says here, and you see that all through the Bible. I just mentioned a few. But think of Simon and Anna. You know, when Jesus was born and he was in the temple, they came in. And it was like there was a hope and expectation, you know. He was waiting for this. Hope became alive. Now it says here, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Believing what? See, that makes all the difference. There's a lot of people that believe a lot of certain things. But believing what? Philosophies of some science professor that doesn't know God? Believe him? You know, there's a lot of people that stake their future on what somebody says. Maybe some, although I'm not against science. The Bible is full of that. But there's much of that that is going on that is connected with lies. Some religious teacher or professor or preacher that doesn't know God. Are we going to go by what they say? If we go by anything else than what God has said, it ends up being fool's gold, right? We might become disappointed down the road. Because if it's not anchored in what God says, then it's a lie from the devil. The devil wants us to believe his lies as well. And the whole world, you know, it seems like it's easier to believe his lies than it is to believe God's truth. So we want to believe the truth and nothing but the truth of his word and his promises. Colossians 2 verse 8 says, Paul gives this warning to the believers. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, which changes from generation to generation. Those things are constantly changing. But God's word doesn't change. Says after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. See, Christ doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So that's where you get your gold from, you know. Your hope that will not let you disappointed is from God's Jesus. From the Word of God. He is the one that you can trust. He is the one that you can anchor your life on, your soul, everything, your future. Put it in his hands and you won't be disappointed. When your time comes, like Brother Woolard, you won't be disappointed. Then he says, joy and peace in believing. Lasting joy and peace can only be found in believing the truth of God's word. Lasting joy and peace can only be found in believing the truth. Which leads to having a relationship with Jesus Christ, which then causes us to abound in hope. You know, it's that relationship with Jesus Christ that you have that causes us to abound in hope. That makes your hope alive. But you're connected to Jesus. 1 Peter 1, 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You can remember the disciples you know, following Jesus for maybe around 3 years or so, and then being very disappointed when they saw their Lord being crucified, and they thought somehow he was had something to do with the restoration with Israel. But they were not seeing it yet at that time through God's eyes, Jesus, what Jesus came to do. But then when Mary came and told them about Jesus, she saw Jesus, and the grave is empty. She was excited about it. I think that's so beautiful. God appearing to Mary Magdalena, the first one that witnessed his resurrection, and she came to the disciples. And you can read about the account, and it says to the disciples, weren't sure about what she said was true. So they ran, you know, Peter and John, to the grave. And yeah, it was empty. But when they saw the Lord Jesus, their hope was revived. And it became alive. They saw him. But he even says in Peter that blessed are those that see not, yet believe. So that's where you and I come in this morning. We continue to believe. The believers, we believe. We believe the record that has been given us. Then verse 4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's beautiful. Now just another thought on also in Romans 8, 24 and 25, I'd just like to share a couple of thoughts on that. It says here, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? If we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience. Remember that word patience really means perseverance. Wait for it. This hope helps us in perseverance, in keeping on, keeping on. You know, that this passage here, verse 20, we are so saved by hope, you know, is misunderstood by some religious people, thinking that all we have to do is just hope, then that's, you know, that's as far as we go. You know, you can't know that your sins are forgiven or that you're saved. That, you know, so we just are saved by hope, so we keep hoping. That's not what this Paul is talking about here. To explain this, I'll share a little story. This was some time ago. It was probably a little bit more than around 15 years ago. Three men went on a fishing trip off the coast of Florida. When they didn't return in the evening, the Coast Guard was notified and others, and they went out searching for them, for these three men. They found the boat 30 miles from the shore, upside down. One man hanging on for his dear life. He was rescued, but what happened to the other two? The surviving man said what happened. He said, after being in the water for an hour, the one took off his life vest and slipped into the water. Think of perseverance. Evidently, his hope of being rescued faded away. He said, I might as well go now. Perseverance. Sometime later, The other one followed, did the same thing. The one was rescued, was hanging on for 40-some hours. What made the difference? That he could hang on and the others didn't. Well, one factor was hope. You know, he had a hope. Maybe they will come today. Maybe they will find me. Hang on. Keep hanging on. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we need to hear that, don't we? Because sometimes, you know, our hope can get kind of dim. We can get discouraged with life, circumstances in life that don't go the way we planned, disappointments, and we tend to go down. That's when you need to hang on to hope. We are saved by hope. And it says, with patience, that means with perseverance. So when you get in that time in your life, don't give up. You know, the sun will shine again. Because if you have Jesus and his word, you can't lose. Keep on keeping on. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire cometh, it is a tree of life. That means when you're hoping for something and it doesn't happen, it makes the heart sick. And that's what happened to the two of those fishermen. And Romans 5:5 says, speaking about hope, he speaks here in verse 5, he says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. That means hope that will not let you be disappointed, because your faith and anchor is in God's word, his truth. Now, I thought of this also. Does an atheist have hope? You know, it seems like there's a good many atheists around in the world today. Does he have a hope? Well, Proverbs 10:28, I believe he does. You know what their hope is? They have a faith, they have a belief, but it's not founded in the Word of God. They believe that after I die, I'll be gone and I'll just be dirt, and that's all that happens with me. There's no afterlife, there's no God, I'll just be gone. That's their hope. So they do have a hope. But you know, it's like pyrite gold. They'll be disappointed. Because after they draw their last breath, all at once, they'll find themselves very much alive. And the Bible says, every knee, everyone shall see him face to face. And if they're not ready to meet him, and yet God so wondrously and graciously provided his son so that we, when we stand before him, we can be clothed in perfect righteousness. Perfect righteousness, so beautiful. Why would we not want that? It's so beautiful. But they think, when I'm gone, I'm gone. So they do have a hope. And Proverbs 10:28 says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Just like Brother Willard, I believe he had a hope that was alive. And when he closed his eyes in death, or his body died. He didn't die. He was very much alive. Very much alive. He says, gladness. Gladness was his portion. And it can be each of our portion this morning as well. But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Pyrite gold won't be worth anything. That hope won't be valid because it was based on their own philosophies, on their own thinking. It had no grounds. I'd much rather trust this morning somebody that came back from the dead. I think we can trust him, right? His name is Jesus. You can stake your anchor upon him and you will not be disappointed. Okay? That's what we want to do. That's what I want to encourage you this morning. So wherever you are in your hope this morning, maybe it's weak, I want to encourage you. You know, there's hope when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, just like our song said this morning that we were singing about. Turn our eyes upon Jesus. He can inflame that hope in your hearts. May he do that for each of us. Shall we just bow for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, as we come to you this morning, we're so grateful. For you, that when we were without hope and without God in this world, you didn't leave us there. You gave, you pursued us, you gave Jesus, who took the judgment for our sins, so that we could have hope as we think of the future, our future, both now and for all eternity. Hallelujah. That's so beautiful, Lord Jesus. The gospel is so beautiful. All of us in here, let none of us make light of it, Lord, but rejoice and may that hope abound in our hearts and become alive. May it pursue us onward, forward. Lord, I pray. And we thank you. Thank you for each one that has come. Bless each one. In Jesus' name, amen.